Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
And welcome back to Meeting of the Minds. Today I'm here with the great Chris Ressa, mentor of mine back from the Rutgers days. He brought me under his wing, really was the one responsible for getting me into business, recommended I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad when I was a sophomore at Rutgers, changed my life, mentored me in the mats, sports, school, and life. He's a great friend. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about you. Let's go through your journey, your wrestling career as a kid in high school and how that led you to Rutgers. Talk about that.
Yeah. So, and I'll try to give a little bit from a mindset perspective. So, you know, growing up in a pretty blue collar town where sports were pretty important to the community, I ended up, growing up playing wrestling, playing football and baseball. I got to high school. I played football and I wrestled and I, ended up wrestling year round. I saw there was an opportunity for me to compete on a collegiate level in wrestling. And, you know, I saw that at a little bit of an early age and I dove into that, started training and competing on a national level to get me exposure and experience, to prepare myself for a collegiate level. That took me to Rutgers where I competed with you and we were teammates, and that's on a high level, where I was. We can get into a little more granular if you want, but on a high level, that's what took me there. You know, I, by mistake, ended up on the mats. Someone on a football field said, you should try wrestling. They were recruiting people for wrestling. Ended up really, enjoying it. I think it started that I just loved the ultimate competition piece when I was younger. And then I think with wrestling, it's interesting, right? I'm always fascinated by those who have little success as a youth and stick with it and keep coming back for more. Cause I think this is it's a really challenging sport. And I think you're seeing it more and more today when, you know, I was on the opposite. I think my career progressively, my success, got worse and worse as I progressed. I was state champ when I was in youth. I think the worst I ever did in youth wrestling was third in the state. Got to high school. I made the state finals. I was state runner up, but only once. And then I got to college and, you know, I had visions of being an All American and I did qualify for the NCAA tournament Division I, which was good, but, you know, it got harder and harder along the way. So I am fascinated by those who actually, you know, struggle as a youth and, but continue to keep coming back and trying to get better. And I always wonder like if, you know, what would have happened if I was in third grade, if I was, you know, 5 and 30 instead of 30 and 5, where would that have taken me? So, when I can tell you in high school, when I took second in the state, you know, for my career, for everything, that was probably the greatest thing that happened to me. I think I'm nowhere where I want to be, from, a professional life, but I think if I won that match and I lost 5-4, I probably wouldn't be as far as I am today.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And you were one of the guys that really, I mean, you had a natural mentorship personality. Sometimes it was tough love, but it was always with a lot of love. And I remember just little things that just pop out of my head. Maybe we were talking about doing a knee slide. We were talking about Coach Cassidy, and you were just saying, you just got to do it. You just friggin' do it, right? Yeah. So sometimes we overcomplicate things by trying to break it down. And, of course, there's a time for analysis, but sometimes you just got to do it.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to do it, for sure. I think that, you know, for me, you know, in wrestling, you know, some of the things that I think were interesting to me is that when you're practicing, it's a very, 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 very unique thing to go through a significant amount of practice for 6 or 7 minutes. And so even if you're training for football, it's 60 minutes. And for wrestling, it's for 6 or 7 minutes. And you have a short window of opportunity to take advantage of those, to take advantage of. And you don't have the next quarter is not 15 minutes. And so I think that prepares you really well for great opportunities post-wrestling, where you have to take advantage of an opportunity you've prepared so long, but you only have a small window of time to take advantage of that opportunity. So just do it, like I said.
That's right. Just do it. I'm taking notes as you're, it's sparking more things that are coming into my head that you told me over the years. I remember saying about working on our weaknesses, and something that you said, if you're having trouble in a certain area in wrestling, and obviously this could be related to school, to business, or to life, put yourself in that area. Like, I think maybe it was leg counters.
Yeah.
I think it was Cassidy again, who made you start with a guy having a leg on you every time before you could even wrestle on your feet to get you good where you needed to work on.
So I think that's something that's really interesting because I think, you know, even today I go back and forth on this concept. That's an interesting concept, which I would frame it versus work on weaknesses. I would say get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think that, you know, that's how I would frame it, because today I think, you know, and as I compare it to the business world, competition is so fierce, and I'm not saying run away from competition, but it's hard to get going in the business world because there's so much competition, especially, you know, capital and all these things. And so there's riches and niches. And I think that, you know, going deeper on your strengths versus going wider, being a jack of all trades, the people I see who are the most successful are good at are amazing experts at a few things. Very few people are great at everything. That said, going back to not being able to get out of legs, I think you need to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And you need to put yourself in scenarios where you are uncomfortable. I think that translates to more than just leg counters. I think that translates to a lot of other things. And it's okay to be in situations that are new and uncomfortable because you have the mindset and framework to be able to adapt and handle uncomfortable situations.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And also speak to the importance of having a good mentor, because a lot of times we think we know our strengths, we think we know our weaknesses. And I remember something you said to me a while ago. You would say, Zanetti, what's your best shot? And I'd say low single. And you already knew where you were trying to make the point here. I said, low single. You said, no, you like to think you're a low single guy. Your best move is your elbow post to your high single. You said that to me a while ago, if you remember. But a lot of times we think we're strong in certain areas, or we think we're weak in certain areas. But we need that mentorship to steer us in the right direction, because sometimes we're disillusioned.
Yeah. So when I was a youth wrestler, I was stronger and faster than most. And that carried me far as a youth wrestler. But what that did was I developed some bad habits, because some coaches were like, hey, you should do X, Y, Z. And I'm going, well, why should I do X, Y, Z? Because ABC is working, right? And then, you know, I got to college and you mentioned Steve Cassidy, and he mentioned a line to me was, the only thing worse than bad habits that don't work are bad habits that do work. And so I would, that's what it took for it to click for me. And everyone has something unique that it takes to click for them. And surrounding yourself with people who are, you know, who you have a high regard for will often set yourself up to be in moments where things click. And you have to be in a position to set yourself up in moments where things click, and mentors help you do that.
Absolutely. And I guess going along with mentors, so you have the mentors that are in front of you, but then you also have the experts that maybe you're reading their books, you're listening to their podcasts, watching their YouTube videos. Big point you always made to me is that it's very important to be well-read. Successful people are very well-read. So I wasn't reading very much before you told me this. And then
yeah.
So I really put that into effect. And one of the first books you put in front of me, you said, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. If I remember correctly, you said your mom gave it to you and said you should read this. But that changed my life about the way we look at career, our professional life and business. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So that was one of the, it was actually my uncle, but my uncle gave me that book. It was a great lesson for me. If you listen to anything about real estate or commercial real estate, that is, or anyone is investing in that, that is like the Bible that got a lot of people started. And it, what I think more than anything about being well read is it changed, as you mentioned, it changed the way you think, and it gave you different perspective. And I think that's one of the most profound things about reading, is just gaining new perspectives. I was pre-pandemic, I was reading probably a book or two a month. And that's in a variety of ways. I listen to Audible. I love Audible. I use my iPad, or I have the hard copy book, which is less and less these days. But I do like a good old-fashioned book that I pick up at Barnes. And so I think the point that I would make is, you know, being well-read and getting context of how other people are looking at things. You know, if you want to be great at something, you know, the easiest way is look at the people who have done that before you, and how did they do it. And books are a great resource for that.
Absolutely. Now talk about your journey. So Star Ruckers wrestler, doing great things on the mat, transitioning to business.
Yeah.
How did your mindset translate?
So I'll give you a little background of business and what I'm doing. So when I left Rutgers, I went to work for the Sherwin-Williams company, the paint stores company. They recruited on Rutgers, and I was at Rutgers campus, and I was in Sherwin-Williams corporate real estate department. I really didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And then it was a great job there, you know, Fortune 500 company. It was awesome. And I had a great experience learning about corporate real estate. So I was out there looking for new locations for them to open up new stores, new offices, new warehouses. And, you know, we were, you know, you think of a Fortune 500 company, they have a lot of real estate needs. And that's what I was doing. And I ended up having a passion for commercial real estate. And one of the attorneys there, you mentioned mentors, and one of the attorneys there one time, and, you know, I didn't spend a lot of time with him, but, we were at lunch one day, and, you know, I like passing by, and I like kind of was griping to him about, I got a perfect score on my annual review, and I was unhappy with the raise. And he was like, you know, giving me the whole, it takes time, you know, you gotta put in your dues. But he said something that was really interesting, which is, you're a function of their business. You're not their business. Their business is selling paint. The people who make the most money here sell the most paint. And so what you need to do, if you want to be in finance, don't work in the finance department for, you know, so, you know, call it, you know, HP Computers, go work for the best financial company. If you want to be in law, don't work, you know, as a corporate lawyer for Verizon, go work at the best law firm. He's like, you want to be in real estate. If you want to really be in real estate, you need to work for a commercial real estate company. So I thought about that. There's a different, lot of different paths you can go in commercial real estate. You can work on the user or occupant side, which is the tenant side. You could be a broker or third party, you know, person, or you could be the landlord. And I went and moved on over to the landlord side, and I've been on the landlord side in commercial real estate ever since. Today I oversee our leasing, which is our sales team. They're negotiating the deals for our properties, whether it's with the local pizza guy, Starbucks, or Walmart to come to the properties we own. I oversee the construction, marketing, and property management departments. So we're about 120 people, and that is what I do. And I think, you know, wrestling really, I think, was a really good foundation for me in being successful in this career, or just anything in business for a whole host of reasons that we could talk about. But that's kind of the journey that I got to where I am now.
Absolutely.
The name of the company is DLC Management.
DLC Management. Awesome. We can throw a link below in the show notes. That'd be good.
Awesome. And we have a podcast called Retail Retold.
We're going to throw that in there also.
Awesome.
So what are those exact mindset qualities or traits that it takes to be a champion, whether it's on the mat or in business?
So I'll talk from, you know, personal, because I think it's, you know, wrestling both personal for me. You know, so over the course of time, I've interviewed a significant amount of people, both at, you know, from the C-suite down to entry level. And I'm always looking and asking them and seeing if they have the self-awareness of what their differentiators are. And I'll often caveat that question, like, you know, what, you know, of what makes you unique or what is your differentiator to, and don't give me the surface level, which is you're a hard worker, you're really smart, you're honest and loyal. Because if we hired based on those, every single person who came through the door would get hired, because everyone says they're a hard worker, they're honest, they're loyal, they're all this. And by the way, if someone says they're a hard worker, I often say, can you define that for me? Because how do you define hard work versus the other 50 people interviewing who also said they're hard workers? And people really struggle with that interview question when I ask them to define hard work for me, because most people don't ask that. But as an interviewer, it is, how do you differentiate? If 50 people all tell you they're hard workers, how do you differentiate? So I ask them to define what hard work means to them in their own words. Anyway, so if we get all those traits out, you know, what makes you unique? And so if I were, you know, answering that, I think some of the things that have helped me in business were, you know, high tolerance for stress. It's not always lollipops and rainbows. So if you want to really rise up, if you want something safe, secure, and, you know, cozy, there are those opportunities. If you want to continually climb like the corporate ladder, or you want to go the other path and be an entrepreneur, you need to have a high tolerance for stress. Wrestling prepared you for that, no doubt. You need to, and I say this a lot, not survive under pressure. You need to be able to thrive under pressure, right? When, you know, when there's, you gotta like the scenario when you're down by three, you're on bottom, and there's 47 seconds left on the clock. You gotta crave that, right? A lot of people don't crave that. And in the business world, I don't care how successful you are, you find yourself in that down by three, 47 seconds left on bottom often. And you have to be able to handle that. So if I were going to put anything more than anything, it's, you know, since you spent so much time being, you know, uncomfortable, right? And getting comfortable being uncomfortable, I think it really prepped me for that. I think all the things that people talk about wrestling and the relation, discipline, work ethic, Those are all true. But if I were to point to any one that I think is unique that I don't hear spoken about that much, I would say tolerance for stress and, you know, the ability to thrive under pressure versus, you know, survive in pressure.
Makes sense. Now, what are some of the biggest mental mistakes or just perspective that people have that is just off when they're making their career transitioning into business?
Mental mistakes. Good question.
Or misconceptions they might have, a perspective that needs an adjustment. If you're mentoring someone, what things would you tell them to?
So I'll go to both avenues. So I really think there's like two areas. You can go and be an entrepreneur in yourself, or you can climb the corporate ladder. And I went that route, notwithstanding Robert Kiyosaki's book. And I have some investments that are passive and whatnot, like that book taught. But I would say the following. In the corporate world, there's three ways that you can climb the corporate ladder. You're either the smartest person in the room, you're the hardest worker in the room, or you know somebody who helped you get through in the room. And so, you know, I didn't go to an Ivy League school where my dad was, knew everyone on Wall Street and helped me get there. I realized real quick, I was dealing with a lot of smart people. There's not a lot of, you know, I was rarely the smartest in the room. And so I better figure out what it means to work hard and start working hard. And so if I were to say to anybody, like, you know, that all the politics and all the that go on in corporate America, all the, you know, this degree and that degree, if I were to bucket into three things, the people I see, they're either the hardest worker, the smartest one, or they know a lot of people that helped them along the way, good or bad.
All right. So let's say we're not the smartest. How do we work on that hardest working part and the networking part?
So I would say when people ask me the two things that got me propelled my career and where I used hard work to get me there were, you mentioned one, which was networking and reading. So I think that, those two things were the two things that got me along the way. So when I first moved from Sherwin-Williams to the landlord side, and these were the old days, every morning, anything that had to do with commercial real estate in the Wall Street Journal, I had cut out that article and I had put it in a binder. And I would do what I was called active learning, not passive learning. So like I saw a term in there that I had no clue. I go look up that term. What did it mean? And then that would take me down a tangent in learning. And so at a very quick pace, I was able to, maybe I wasn't the smartest in the room, but I was knowledgeable. I knew what was going on and I had context and I could understand and, you know, and my opinion was respected. And so I would tell you, be well read. That helped me tremendously. And then the second thing on networking, you know, I think, whether that's from mentors, people in the business world to get business, connecting with others is, you know, critically important. And so I spent a lot of time at the time, you know, attending conferences, introducing myself, setting up calls with people in the markets where we did business just to, you know, really connect and, you know, and the key is I was a constant resource for people. So I still do some of this today. So if, you know, no strings attached, if, you know, I might send in, you know, after a conversation and someone was talking about XYZ and I saw an article, send that article, not ask for business, but send that article, say, hey, we were talking about this. I thought you might thought this was interesting. So constantly doing things where I could add value and trying to stand out. You know, I send a lot of follow-up emails today. I'll take a video of myself and send that versus I think that's the new handwritten note and things like that. So I'll, you know, try and use technology, but you know, that's where I, you know, those two things, networking and reading, very simple, hard to do, takes discipline and hard work to do that. You don't have to cut out articles in a binder anymore. Everything's a Google stroke away, but definitely being knowledgeable about what's going on in your industry.
Makes sense. And it's very practical stuff that people could implement right away.
Yeah.
I hope the listeners are taking notes. I was always taking note, at least mentally, when you were saying things. So I'm sure people are going to get a great amount.
Yeah. The one thing I would say is, you know, I don't know what the right, you know, scientific term is, but I would say really active reading, active learning versus passive to me is critical, right? There's you talk to a lot of people who like know the surface level, and you take one step deeper and they're deer in headlights because they didn't spend the time to like really dig in to understand. And I think, you know, active learning, I mentioned like when I was reading, you know, in commercial real estate, and probably getting too inside baseball here, but you know, the word CMBS came up like three times. Well, I didn't know what that meant. And if you keep reading and you don't know what it means, then you better go look it up and figure out what the heck it is. And that's what I would do. And that's what I'd recommend people doing. That's the difference between active and passive to me.
Absolutely. We're stressing that all the time with people because obviously as a school psychologist, I needed to learn how do people learn and retain information. And they actually have a learning pyramid. You might've seen it before, but if you're looking at passive learning, like just listening to a lecture, reading a book, you're only likely to retain like 10%. I think a lecture is only 5%. Audiovisual, maybe like 20%. But then once you go into active learning, like doing some kind of exercises, group discussion, or teaching other people what you learn, it shoots up to like 50 to 90% retention rate. So you got a lot of science backing that up also.
Cool.
True, true. And as you always said, there are some opinions that are facts. So it's hard to disagree with a guy like that. So awesome. Yes. Chris, where could we send people your way? What websites, information? I'll link it all in the show notes.
Awesome. So you can go to our company website, dlcmgmt.com.
Okay. Yep.
I'm very active on LinkedIn. You can follow me. Follow my hashtag, Ressa on Real Estate.
Nice.
And then if you're interested about unique business deals in real estate, you can check out our podcast, Retail Retold. I host that podcast. It is every Thursday. The premise is the story of how that store ended up in your neighborhood. So people will often sit around a dinner table and say, they put Starbucks over there. And I say the show brings you who they is and how it happened.
Awesome. Great stuff. The man, Chris Ressa, thank you very much for your time. As always, great speaking with you.
You too, man. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.